very difficult for black people to come together because we don't trust each other. The question then becomes, how can we write up a document creating our Declaration of Independence? Even though we distrust each other, we can nevertheless have a relationship with each other. And that really becomes the paramount issue. If you don't trust each other, and yet we're having all the problems that we are having, then it also does not make sense for us to be separated from each other. So the question is, what brings people together? That's the issue. What really brings people together? Well, if you look at what brought these people together, who some of you call founding fathers, but I prefer to call them fleeing felons. If you look at these fleeing felons and recognizing that there is no honor among thieves, all right? So when this Constitution was written, it was written with the idea that there's no honor among thieves and we have to watch out for each other. All right, which is really, in a sense, parallel to our position, not because we have any criminal inclinations, but because we have been so fragmentized as a result of divide and conquer that we find ourselves in the same situation that they found themselves in more than 200 years ago. Now, when you look at the back of this self-government, where I listed under slavery, A through H, several provisions that deal with the Constitution, when you look at the commerce and credit and there's ABC, three sections that deal with that. I had my little blackboard. Did that ever get here? Okay, well, why are we bringing that on stage? When you look at the Constitution itself, the critical term that I want you to leave here with is this. The Constitution relates to interests. I-N-T-E-R-E-S-T-S. Interests. And that different people had different interests. All right? All of their interests were unlawful, but they nonetheless were different interests. You had some people who were slaveholders, and you had some people who were manufacturers, and people who were manufacturers were people who were not necessarily interested in slaves, and people who were landowners were not necessarily interested in manufacturing. Then you had your security holders, people who made their money by marketing stocks and bonds. Now, all of these were different interests. Now, if you look at the Constitution itself, what you begin to realize is that contrary to the idea that this document was established to protect minority rights or to give people certain freedoms, it was simply a contract that reflected various interests. So for example, if I was a slaveholder and I'm sitting down with some other people and I realize that all of our interests or different, but that we nonetheless need a common army, we nonetheless need a common navy, we nonetheless need a common government, then there must be some common compromises. All right? Because if I'm in the North and you're in the South, my position is that the slaves that you own or the enslaved persons that you have on your property should not count in terms of population for the purposes of political representation. Because I want to get the one up on you. If you're in the South, on the other hand, it is your position that you want to make these persons five-fifths for the purposes of political representation. Now, ultimately, what came about was a three-fifth provision, which was simply a compromise. Does everybody understand that? All right? So what we are talking about here is the various interests that who came together, and those interests developed into a marriage. Now, by the time of the Civil War, you know what happens in marriage. One of the parties get fed up and say, I want to leave this arrangement. And I want to take my slaves or my enslaved persons with me. And the pimp that the North was said, hey, you ain't taking nobody anywhere. All right? Because this union must stand. Everybody understand what we're saying? All right, this union must stand. So, therefore, what we are... Thank you. You can pull that up a little bit, brother. Yeah. Pull it up a little bit. Yeah. Bring it up. Now, why this is important is for this reason. Black people will never be able to liberate ourselves until we all can decide what our own interests are. But in order to decide what our interests are, we must have an interest first in ourselves, or as the ancient people of Kemet said, we must first know thyself. All right? Before you can have an interest in yourself, before you can have an interest in anything else, you must first know thyself. If you do not know thyself, then you cannot unite with anybody. All right? So all of this whole idea about unity can only exist when we first have an interest in ourselves and then have external interests as a result of that. That's the only way that we can ever come together. Because if we do not know who we are, then we can have no interest to defend in the first place. And so when we look at these various interests, what is significant here is that the only people that could become citizens of the United States were people who had property. Pure and simple. If you were a woman, if you were a slave, if you were an indentured servant, or if you were a white male without property, you were disenfranchised. So the whole idea of America is about property. The notion that was given about 40 acres and a mule related to citizenship. You cannot become a citizen of America without property. Pure and simple. When the Constitution was first formed, the only white man that sat down and wrote the Constitution were men with property. Pure and simple. All right? In New Jersey today, there are people that run for office. They're called freeholders. Am I right? All right? The reason why they're called freeholders is because they had to hold property in order to be free. So we're talking about the nature of America and whether you can ever gain your freedom in America being a people without property. And the answer to that is that when this Constitution was first written, it wasn't just the idea that people were brought from Africa. More importantly, was the idea that those people that were brought from Africa had no property interest. And this is the reason why many times today when you send somebody to Trenton, to the state capitol, or you send somebody to Washington, and you say, well, they sold out, they're not representing us, well, they can't represent you because you have no property. All right? You can't be represented when you have no property. All right? You cannot call yourself a poker player if you are sitting at the table with a handful of cards and no chips. All right? You can't call yourself a poker player. All right? You're not really playing poker if you're at the table with no chips. All right? If you have no chips, then nobody can represent you because you're not relevant to that game, because America is a game. All right? And there are certain rules of the game. And when you do not have the chips to play in that poker game, then you have no chance of ever hitting the jackpot. All right, Ross Perot is running for President of the United States because he got in a poker game with some chips and ended up with $1 billion. All right? And so that's why he's running for office today, because he has a few chips and he was able to manipulate those chips and become a billionaire and finance his own campaign. But if you go back to this Constitution, you cannot become a citizen if you have no property. That was then and that is now. All right? That's the nature of it. We're going to the polls on Tuesday. But 200 years since the creation of this Constitution, the only men, the only people that are running for president are still white men. All right? They're still white men, and they are still men of some wealth. All right? That's more than 200 years after the Constitution was written in the first instance. So this whole notion about reparations, you see, when black people say, well, I don't want no reparations, that was 200 years ago. But they're missing the point. The point is that those are your chips. Because if you don't get your chips, you're never going to get your freedom. All right? Those are your chips. I mean, that's like you sitting at a card game and somebody said, well, here, man, here's some chips. I see you got a deck of cards in your hand. Let me give you some chips so that you can really be a player. You say, I don't want the chips. All right? I don't want those chips. I want to just sit here with some naked cards in my hand. All right? You understand what I'm saying? Oh, we're talking about reality here. You see? You know, there's a real basic ignorance that goes on with our people because we have no knowledge of the science of government and the science of process what's going on here. This is reality. This is reality. So when this document was written, everybody who was a part of this process either owned real property or personal property. And that could be in the form of stocks or something like, or bonds or something like that. But it was nonetheless, it was property. Now, a lot of people ask, well, why was George Washington, how did he become the general of the army? And how did he eventually become the first president of the United States? Well, the reason is very simple. He was the largest landowner in America. Whoever would become the general? If you own the most land, when you become the general? Alright, if you own all the land, when you become the general? Alright, I mean, he said he was going to be a corporal, a buck private, if he was the largest landowner in America. Alright, so the whole idea of rank related to how much property people had in the first instance. You see, because this is important for this reason. I participated in the civil rights movement. I was involved in voter registration in the 60s. I took my lumps and all of that. Now, I know more today than I knew then. There are some people that I know who know no more today than they knew then. All right? I mean, they just didn't grow at all, all right? But at least that was a growth process with me. Now, 30 years ago, the discussion we had was, did the chicken precede the egg or did the egg precede the chicken? All right? In other words, does economics precede politics or does politics precede economics? Because that was a big discussion. You know, which is more important? Well, they really go hand in hand. But because we were very naive then and did not understand as much as we should have, even though we were very energetic, we were very conscious, we thought, but we were not as knowledgeable as we should be. Well, the reality of it is that man and woman are economic beings. All right, first and foremost. I mean, each one of us is an economic being. Each one of us is concerned about food, clothing, and shelter first and foremost. All right? So we're economic beings. We will bind ourselves together politically in order to deal with the distribution of those goods and services. All right? So we will bind ourselves together politically in order to make decisions as to who gets what. But we are nonetheless economic beings. All right, in the first place. Now, the reason why we are still catching it in America 200 years later, the reason why other people coming here and seem to be going ahead of us on the totem pole for one simple reason, and it was stated then. The people who wrote the Constitution said there are two classes of people, the haves and the have.
Concrete bricks, bulletproof, I'm so proud of these walls that I built to defend and protect this bold heart, this bold. You marched into my home, not few big army with a weapon on your arm. Yes, you struck straight with your cold heart. Your cold heart.
I'm like Nat, I'm like Nat. I'm a man of God, but where is Christ at? And even though my name is Nas, I am like Nat. Is this me declaring war or white flags? I now know why I was even born, to strike back. A full moon up in the sky, that's a sign that it's time to get my liberation, a perfect configuration. It's the birth of a nation, midwife black, mother, father, Caucasian. My blood, Indian native, so now I'm contemplative being like Nat. About to show you what I'm made of. I'm what races are afraid of. No mule in the 40 acres. And despite that, watch out for the traitors. And when they say make America great again, do they mean make us all slaves again?
Don't be sidetracked. No, we will never wave the white flag, so you think I'm gonna run now? No, the time has come to fight back, this is me declaring war.
Don't wanna be a victim no more, depicted as a criminal, especially when you're poor. Why doesn't the government order capital punishment to officers who racial profile and put slugs in us? Makes me think they want us to stink on the brink of insanity. We're screaming for justice, they send tanks. The man in me demanding we protect the family anarchy. Ku Klux Klan and him demanding he damaged me. So my fantasy is every single one of us come against the evil divided people. It's common sense, the theory. I hope the whole world hear me, no justice. So I became a revolutionary. No matter if you're red, white, black, if you want freedom, then we're all like
that. No, we will never wave the white flag, the white flag,
white flag.
So you think I'm gonna run?
It's time for a better America. It's a little Nat Turner in every one of us. No matter if you're red, white, black, if you want freedom, then we're all like Nat. War. Declare war. It's time. Let the spirit of Nat Turner live forever.